I just thank the Lord for the good song service again tonight. It is such a wonderful thing to be able to get those good songs before the message. It does help. And it's a ministry all in its own. I've been in services where there was no preaching because songs were sung in the spirit and souls were saved by the time the ministry got through dealing around the altar. Testimonies broke out and there was the end of the service. So God, we don't run by a program in the church of God. We believe that the Holy Spirit should be free to lead in whichever direction he takes. And we as his people are supposed to be satisfied with anything and everything that he does. So tonight, I'm asking you to take up your Bibles. Let's go on over to Romans chapter 5 and read a few verses there. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, as we think along the lines of worthiness, none of us was worthy for Christ to die for. None of us was worthy enough for God to send his only begotten son for. But thank God that he didn't wait for us to try to work something up in the way of becoming good enough for this great and wonderful privilege that has been freely bestowed upon us. I believe to be saved tonight is one of the best things that can really happen to you. I think I better restate that, the best thing. Because it's the only thing, it's the only way by which we can leave this world after Christ has cleaned us up, worthy to where God the Father can look down and see us in that justified holy state because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm grateful to God tonight that no one outside of the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ will ever be justified. We're grateful tonight for all that God has done for us. And to serve God is my greatest pleasure. I count it a privilege to serve God after all that he's done for me. And I believe if we try to keep it preaching, teaching, when we read the scriptures, when it says to whosoever and so on, let's fit our own self, our own name in there and realize that it's for God so loved the world that he died for Garrett Haylock. And you do likewise, and that's the way that we really get to see the true picture of it. If nobody else was around, he would have loved me so much that he would have died still. God would have still set him just for me. So if you're here tonight outside of the fold of God, he died just for you so that you can be saved on the merit of the blood of Jesus Christ tonight. So just imagine you being without strength. You know, many times we don't think along the line while we're living in sin that we're without strength. But the Bible tells us that cords of sin hold us fast. We're there in sin, and it's not until you decide you want to do better and God start quickening you, God start digging around your heart and showing you your need of salvation, and you try to break loose on your own strength, you find, yes, it sounds like a good idea, but I want to get the credit for myself, so I'm going to stop smoking, so I smoke a little less, and I'm going to stop drinking, so I drink a little less, and so on and so forth, just to fall right back flat on your face. You just don't have the strength to do it in yourself. But I'm here tonight to tell you, through the blood of Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, tonight He can give you power, and He will give you power to rise above everything that is holding you fast. He will break every cord of sin tonight. And I don't care how strong, I don't care how many rocks it have around you, tonight God is able to break the power of sin and have it in every one of our lives. So with to be without strength, when you really see yourself without strength, it just means that you become a victim, and something has a neck grip or a death grip or a sleeping grip on you, and you just can't help yourself. You just don't have the strength. And that's just the true picture of sin. You know, many times you look at it and say, I don't want to do that again. But the bidding of our master, the devil, long as we're in sin, we will do. So tonight, thank God for the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, and for a chance to be lifted up out of that state of helpless, hopeless, you know, hopelessness and that weakness without strength. We're not talking about strength in our own selves, but when we realize tonight that's just what happened. In our own selves, we have no strength against the enemy of our soul. Tonight, we need the stronger man to bring everything under subjection. And tonight I'm saying to have that experience, that strength, to find where you can break that power. When the devil comes around with the temptations, you no longer have to yield. You see, temptations will come even to the child of God. No one is going to be so spiritual, is going to be so saved, that they will never be so sanctified or anything, that they will not be tempted. Since the devil tempted our Lord and Savior, who was sinless, the powerful Son of God, he tempted him. So you can imagine, if Jesus had said along his crucifixion road, he says, if they do this to the green oak tree, what shall they do to the dry? So we realize tonight the enemy tonight has power, but God has all power. All power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. So tonight, just think of yourself in this world, wanting to do better, trying to do better, and just can't. And then God miraculously comes through, sends his only begotten Son into the world. Have you hear a message that quickens you, shows you your need of salvation, and gives you strength to make a move in that direction. And from that moment on, the things I used to do, I do them no more. Amen. Thank God. The places I used to go, I don't go there no more either. The things I used to wear, I wear them no more. There's a great change since I've been born. So tonight, if you're here and you're not saved, you're in a hopeless state when it comes to your own strength. You need the power of God. You need the blood of Jesus Christ to be applied to your life. Tonight, I'm glad to tell you his blood will never ever lose its power. So, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He said, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrated his love to us. While you were hopeless, while you was helplessly bound and struggling in that under the burden and weight of sin, God looked down and he saw your struggle. He saw just exactly what you was going through. He knew exactly what you needed. And tonight, that Savior is still available for the whosoever will may come. If I was to give the message a topic, I would say, for God so loved. For God so loved. For him to do that. You know, the scripture makes us to know how much God did love. And what makes it so bad or demonstrates his love so much is because of how he started us out in this life. Everything that God made in creation, the Bible says in Genesis 1 and 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was good. And I'm here to tell you, man, when God looked at man, when God looked at all of his creation, everything was good. And then when it was finally over, he says it was very good. Amen. So tonight, God gave us a good start. Ecclesiastes 7 and 29 says, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but man has sought out many inventions. It's those inventions that men had sought out, wondering what it would feel like to get some tobacco, roll it up in a piece of paper, smoke it and blow it out of every hole in your head. What an invention. It has made people millionaires, billionaires, selling tobacco wrapped up in a paper called cigarettes. It has cost the U.S. and other governments of the world billions of dollars through cancer-rated people. Sicknesses of all sort related to smoking, but all of those are inventions that man made. You know, and in itself, that herb, no doubt, has its own purposes. I understand some places they take it and they throw it into water, soak it for a while, and they spray plants with it, and it kills bugs. So God put it here for a purpose, but it wasn't to make cigarettes out of it. And maybe there are other purposes and other things it could be used for. It's like the marijuana. It was never made God never made it intentionally for people to smoke it. Amen. The substances that man has taken to make crack cocaine and all of those other powerful drugs, God never intended that. That was man's invention. God made us upright. It's man that sought these out. And it's those are the things that forms the cords of sin. Sometimes I believe it's safe in saying that those cords can be interpreted as addictions. Some addictions, I've seen people struggle over cigarettes. I have a brother back home in the church now. He says sometime they used to play that good gospel music in the mornings on the radio in the island. And he says he would just get so convicted, tears would run down his eyes, and he would grab in and throw that pack of cigarettes out, throw it over the fence, and say he would struggle through the day, shaking, burning with desire for a cigarette. And he said by the time he coming back home that evening, he would pop, step through the fence and pick up the cigarettes and light up again. Many people have been like that. They struggle over those things. That brother got saved and he told me and he testified. He said from the day that Pastor Brooks prayed for him, he said he never smoked another cigarette. Say he never used crack cocaine, not one more time. We have a brother in our congregation in Westbury, the same thing. Pastor Decker always called him Shiny. But this boy was very messed up. He said when he went home the night he got saved, there was an ounce of cocaine on his table, and his friends, his brother and some other friends were gathered around. He said the only chair was empty was where he would sit. And he told him, he says, if you all don't get out of here, I'll call the police. He said he never touched it since that night that he got saved. People try it on their own, but I'm here to tell you tonight, there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse the vilest sinner, to cure the habits that have kept you bound. Tonight, God has just what you need tonight. Oh, God so loved us. While we're so messed up, God so loved that he gave his only begotten son. The Bible tells us in Genesis again, 1 and 27, that God made us in his image. He didn't make us messed up. We messed up ourselves after we got here. He made us in his image. And God is God is perfect. And God put us out here with a good start. Just by these verses, we know that we got off to a very good start. Revelation 4 and 11 tells us we were created. He said, for thy pleasure, we are and were created. Every one of you was created to bring pleasure to God. My question to you tonight, is your life bringing pleasure to God? If your life is not bringing pleasure to God, then you're living below your privilege. You're living below what you were created for. You were created specifically, according to Revelations 4 and 11, that you for his pleasure, we are and were created. And I tell you, ever since I started to live in, I can't say what John 8 and 29, when Jesus said, he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. I can't say that truthfully. There was times that I stepped my bounds. I said things. I acted not as kindly as I should have. And the Holy Spirit being faithful nudged me. And I had to go back, eat some humble pie, beg apology, beg forgiveness, apologize over certain things. But Jesus Christ never had to ever apologize. The only thing that ever Jesus caused some offenses by the words he spoke. And if the truth offends you, then I can't apologize about that. The truth of God's word must be preached. And Jesus, I'm telling you, he had his way of just not mincing matters. So tonight, how did we get in the mess as mankind is in tonight? With all of that beautiful start, I thought we must have really disappointed God. After he made him so nice, made us so good, and to see the path that we took. The Bible tells us over in the book of Isaiah how it all got started. Isaiah 53. What started this downward spiral? talking about Jesus. In the fourth verse of Isaiah 53, he says, surely he had borne our griefs and he had carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah to God. With his stripes we are healed. Not only physically, but spiritually, because those stripes that was laid on his back brought forth blood. And it's still only the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. So tonight, I thank God for what Christ done for us. Because God so loved that he sent him. But hear our gratitude for all of what he's done. All we like sheep have gone astray. How did they do it, Brother Haylock? We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All we like sheep have gone astray. That is the main problem with us as people in this world. We're the only part of God's creation that wasn't contented to be where God placed us, to live how God expected us. We were made to bring pleasure to him. The cow still eats grass. The birds still fly. And they don't feel like some days they should fly and build nests in the trees and some days go and swim the reef. Birds stay where birds is for. Fish stay where fish is for. Cows still eat grass. But man have turned to his own way. And man's own way is a downward way. It's a seem right way. It's a way that only seem right. But the Bible say, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Man chooses that. If we follow our human tendencies, it never lifts us up. The flesh is earthly and it just seems to crave down, low down things, low down living. We wonder how we get there. Desire upward living is when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in our life. It's just a natural trend to go downward, crave earthly things, crave the pleasures of this old world, the pleasures of the flesh. But thank God tonight for what Jesus has done. So man have gone astray. Man have lay, and God, with all of the sinful pleasures and practices and all of the damages we have done to our own selves, in the midst of all of that, can you imagine, as the songwriter says, sin will take you further than you want to go. It would hold you longer than you want to stay. And it would cost you far more than you want to pay. But right in the midst of all of that sin and degradation and nothingness and weakness, can't help ourselves. It just seemed like when the enemy say, have another drink, we already feel we've crossed our limit, but we still have another drink. He's our master, you see, until we switch masters. Tonight is a good night to switch masters if you're still in sin tonight. God has the remedy for your nothingness, for your weakness. God has the remedy for it in his son, Jesus Christ. Tonight, sin is nobody's friend. Amen. I thought of what Psalm 38. Go over there for just a moment. I want to read something there for you. Psalm 38. The psalmist says, O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure, for thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. So there is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For mine iniquities are gone over my head as an heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down. I go mourning all the day long. What caused it? All we like sheep have gone astray. That's what brings the displeasure to God. That's what brings regrets and remorse in our life. Oh, tonight, many times I look back and I wish that I had gotten saved before 21. Because some say, well, that was very early comparing to some, yes. But when I look at that youth choir last night and I see those little happy faces, I let you to know, young people, you're in my prayer. You've done a good thing. You stepped out to serve God in your youth as the scripture. God suggested. He says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. You see, I remember Brother Brooks used to say it so many times. He says, if you don't give sin up, sin will give you up. You just get too old to do certain things, but because you can't dance, because you can't run up and down in corral, that don't mean you're saved. That just means you're too old to do that part of sin. And that's dangerous, because you can't even get the pleasure out of it that you once used to get. But you're still not saved. And you're running a risk of the harvest being passed, summer being ended, and you're still left unsaved. Tonight we have to be careful. Sin will hold you longer than you want to stay. I mean, this is being very frank. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. God, I believe, brings a measure of awareness to us that we need to do better, especially those that know better. And I tell our people back home, many of you know better than what you're doing, know better than how you're living. And tonight, I no doubt it's the same for many of you here. Now, I know your place, your country, even your town of Newark. Pastor was telling me today, somewhere in the 40,000, that's more than half of the population of our three islands. So everybody pretty much know everybody, and the truth has been preached for many, many years. In 1904, the brother went from Knoxville, Tennessee, and he preached the gospel down there in the Rotan Islands. And in the French Harbor area lived the Arches, and the Arches living there asked him if he would come to preach up here, or preach up there in the island. And then the Arches embraced them, and was through them that the Church of God got started in the Cayman Islands in 1905. So, and you just imagine if everybody was coming out of Newark, was coming, you know, this was basically the central church, and everybody was just coming, hearing the same word. Pretty soon, the whole population would have heard the truth of God's word. And well, that's pretty much the experience that the Church of God have had over in the islands. You know, the Church of God has been for years the most prominent church. Church of God is the most prominent religion basically throughout the three islands. But today, Adventism is making some big roads, and there seem to be some problems going on, and they're just capitalizing on it and growing. And I believe now, pretty much, they probably got as many members as the Church of God got saved people. Today, the devil is working on every hand. Who he can't get to go into deep sin, he's tying them up in false religion. So we're grateful tonight that God still saves, still keeps, and he still only saves people in his church. I tell people that the Church of God is big enough to hold everybody in the world. Everybody can hold in the Church of God. Amen. God is no respecter of persons. Amen. So when we really think along the lines of people knowing better than what they're doing, deliberately going astray, going against mother's advice, going against father's counsel, going against the church's standards, knowing they're disobeying, they're knowing that they're going down, starting down the downward trend. Yet, even in the midst of all that, all the people walking away from the truth and uprightness and holiness where God placed man in the beginning, God still loved and sent his only begotten son. So tonight, we have to realize that sin is the cause of all sorrow. Sin was what caused Jesus to come. It was sin that caused God to have to send him, but it was his love that compelled him to do so. Love for lost mankind. Jesus suffered for every sin that we have committed. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. While we're out there sowing our wild oats, every sexual sin that has ever been committed outside of wedlock, Christ has paid the penalty for that. Fornication and adultery, homosexual, rape, all of it. God has sent Jesus and he laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Every cigarette I ever smoked, Christ paid the price for it. That's why tonight you can get saved, and those cigarettes maybe you left in the car, going back, planning to go back to light up. You could just take them and throw them over the side of the road, throw them in the nearest garbage, because you won't be needing them anymore. God is a deliverer through Jesus Christ. Every time you got drunk, Jesus paid for that. Every time you did drugs, Christ picked up the tab. We got the pleasure, and Jesus got to go to the cross for it. You know, the Bible tells us that if we hunger, even if our enemy hunger, we should feed him. If he's thirsty, we should give him drink. But yet the Bible tells us that some of the last words that Jesus said on the cross, "I thirst." And the Father turned his back upon his only begotten son, chosen rather to save us than to even have that extend that compassion because our sins were so ugly. When he took it upon himself, the Bible said God had to turn away from him. The songwriter picks it up in the lines like this. He says, who am I that a king should bleed and die for? Who am I? Who am I that God would send his only son for? He goes on and he says he may never ever understand why. I'll tell you, it was true love. It was love that he had for lost mankind, why he really done all of that. Tonight, God wants us, if we're not saved, to turn our lives completely over to him. The blood of Jesus Christ tonight still cleanses us from all sin. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, why don't you come? Shortly we'll be getting a song of invitation, and we'll be singing to make it easy for you, easier for you. The enemy will fight, but I'm here to tell you, God loves you so much. Just imagine. I was going on to say, while Jesus died, not outthirst, he died of a broken heart, I believe. But he died for our sins. But the Bible says he declared he thirst. In the opening statement of Psalm 22, Jesus cries out, my Lord, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? I've always done the things that please thee. Father looked down from heaven, and while they were criticizing him, he said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. But when he chose to love us so much to send him, he had to turn his back on him for us to be saved. Friends, tonight, don't let that kind of love fall on empty ears. That's love you can trust. May God bless you tonight. You're in our prayers. Let us stand.